Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, psychic medium Sherry, Joe Pinohu, and Joel Walling. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, but also step outside the box of it and discuss current events. Great conversation among friends. Good evening, everyone, and thanks for once again taking the time to tune into another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, joined by Joel and Michael, and tonight we're going to talk a little bit about cursed and slash haunted objects. I know that they have some stuff to talk about, and I pulled up some stuff on the trusty old internet. But before we get into that, I want to vent a little bit of frustration among probably hundreds of thousands of other people that are frustrated over this stimulus check, and the frustration is that people with credit unions and small banks got their stimulus check almost immediately after it was signed or over the weekend, but certain large financial institutions such as Wells Fargo and Chase are not releasing those funds until Wednesday, which has got people in an uproar. Unfortunately, I am a Wells Fargo customer. And not too happy about it. People are saying that these organizations are holding the money to collect interest. I don't know how it works. I don't know the specifics. I know that the IRS is indicating that the money will be available on the 17th of Wednesday, but yet all these smaller institutions are releasing the money before these larger ones. So I don't know how that works. I know there's clearinghouses involved. But a lot of people are pissed off. I've been following some threads. People are closing their accounts over this. They want their money now and feel as if these large institutions are just kind of holding it for their benefit. What the truth is, I don't know. But I'm one of the victims of not getting a stimulus check. Kind of frustrating. Have you guys got your stimulus check yet?
No, actually, nope, I'm with a credit union.
You're at the credit union?
I didn't expect it till Wednesday. Because the IRS does direct deposits on Wednesdays. So that's when I was looking for it. I didn't expect to get it before that anyway.
You know, I've had a few friends that actually have gotten theirs already. And I was kind of in that same boat, like, I hadn't expected it, but and then it was like, well, crap, they're already getting theirs. I wouldn't mind getting mine. I mean, I'm not going to go hungry without the money, but I'm singing my own version of Sound of Silence because I'm looking at Amazon going, hello, Amazon, my old friend. I've come to talk to you again. You know, I've got things that I would like to do with the $1,400, you know, but yeah, and I'm with a credit union, but then I also by the fact I'm with a credit union at the timing that it came out, I wouldn't expect to get the money before Monday. Because, you know, anything done after a certain time on Friday isn't done until Monday morning. So that's kind of where I was sitting with it. I was like, it'd be nice to have gotten it, but I didn't see it happening. But, you know, I read that where Wells Fargo and Chase were holding on to it. And that's kind of bullcrap, you know. I think if your money is there, then they need to release it when it's there. They don't need to hold on to it and say, oh, well, we're going to do it when we want to. That's not the way it works. You know, when someone deposits something in your account, if they're doing it with your stimulus check, when are they going to start doing it with your paycheck? Or, you know, oh, well, you know, we decided we wanted to keep paychecks until, you know, you get paid on Friday, now you get paid on Monday.
Well, it's pissing off a lot of people, including me. I have Wells Fargo, account, but I also have two credit union accounts, and I was kind of wishing that I had done the IRS thing through the credit unions, because it seems like those ones are the ones that are primarily getting the stimulus super quick. So we'll have to see what happens.
It's of course, you know,
the people that, you know, if you close your account, though, you got to remember that you get mad about this and you close your account, well, it's going to take longer to get your stimulus now because you got to open another account. Because if you close your account, then your refund is going to go into a dead account. And then you've got
to
fix
it.
It's too late to change it now. So you've got to fix it. So if you get mad about this thing and you close your account now, you're screwing yourself up more. You know?
I was reading people.
It's not like,
get it.
It's not like the money's just not going to just transfer over. It'll just go into a dead account, and you'll have to go in there into the bank and actually fix it to get it out. So, you know.
Well, I know I was looking forward to it to kind of pay down some credit card debt. So I'll wait till Wednesday. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, see, that's kind of the boat I'm in with it. It's like I'm not going to go hungry without it. So I'm not too – if it comes in Monday, it comes in Wednesday. Whenever it comes in, it's yay. So, But some of the people that I know that got theirs in – actually have theirs coming to a prepaid card. Because, you know, like Chime and Green Dot and those, they work pretty much like bank accounts now. So I actually used to get one where I worked. That was my paycheck came through. And I just used it because you can even make a savings account on them. You can do all this. You can use direct deposit from anywhere. You know, even when I changed jobs, I put off the coming in adult and getting an actual bank account, so I used that card, and it was the same thing. I had my paycheck from my new job direct deposited on that card, and I got paid 3 days early.
Well, that's
and
nice.
So, like, the people I was seeing Saturday, instead of getting paid on Friday, I got paid on Wednesday. And I did like that, but... You know, the people that I saw that were getting a lot of them that were getting their stimulus checks last night, they were actually specifically saying, you know, I've got Green Dot or I've got Chime or something like that. And I don't know, I guess as soon as they get the deposit detected, they go on and they'll put it on.
Crazy. Well, hopefully everything works out and we get it. One other thing before we delve into the world of the paranormal, I wanted to mention another story I came across, which was there are some pretty high up people in the government, I believe it was the State Department, that are saying, now whether this is true or not, I have no idea. You can't believe anything anymore, but they're saying that the evidence regarding COVID-19 is pointing out that this had nothing to do with a wet market in Wuhan, China, that it was actually accidentally escaped from the virology lab in Wuhan, which got me thinking. I was thinking, you know, if that's the case, if this virus got accidentally released, like, how do you sleep at night knowing that? I mean, that's like the worst weapon ever. Millions dead and the global economy and so I hope that's not the case, but honestly I kind of wouldn't surprise me if it was inadvertently released or intentionally released, because they're saying that the first case of the virus I guess we're able to figure out what the first case was, and they had nothing to do with the wet market and that there were people sick at this virology lab that had to be hospitalized, and so it wouldn't surprise me if that was the case, and that's kind of scary.
Yeah, I know there are scary things worked with in these laboratories all over the world. I mean, U.S. laboratories, Chinese laboratories, it doesn't matter. We deal with things that we probably shouldn't be dealing with, you know. because if they get out, they could there are potentially world-ending viruses or illnesses that could happen.
I saw a thing the other day on a news feed that rubella was making a comeback. You know?
Well,
and
I'm not surprised with anti-vaxxers.
You know, I mean, and rubella's been kind of dormant for years. You know?
Isn't rubella
actually,
chicken?
Well, they have the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. It's all in one vaccine of those measles, mumps, and rubella. But, Canada.
Oh.
I'm sorry, what was
I was trying to remember what rubella was. I was thinking it was chickenpox, but now I think about it, I think chickenpox, varicella zoster. Never mind. Disregard.
But, you know, in Canada, they actually made it a, you could choose to vaccinate your children or not. It is a full choice. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. And they have seen massive surges in normal childhood disease. The only thing is they have mutated and they are much stronger now. And like they've had to shut down entire school districts because one student gets an outbreak of chickenpox. You know, there's so many kids now that aren't vaccinated in Canada that they've got to close down the schools in order to keep them from spreading it. And the fact is that it's mutated now, and even the kids that are vaccinated against it are you know, bringing it home. And that's where it's the most dangerous, because actually as a child, for whatever reason, with chickenpox, it's mainly you're itchy, you break out in a rash, you get a little sick. But with adults, it can be fatal.
Yeah,
it's much more serious to get as an adult.
Yeah, an adult, they call it something else. They call it Reye syndrome, I think.
I'm not totally positive on that. So I think they do have a different name for it, but I don't know what it is.
The rubella also is actually the German, they call it German measles. The measles also is rubella. It's a viral infection, causes a red rash. It's spread through droplets, contact, sharing soda, kissing, that kind of thing. And there's normally about 20,000 cases a year in the U.S. or fewer than 20,000, but it's preventable by vaccine. So the only way you would probably get it would be if you didn't take the vaccine.
I'm all for the vaccine. Not the COVID vaccine,
but
I'm all for the MMR and tetanus and all that. I had to get a chickenpox vaccine because I never had chickenpox.
You're not going to get that.
That's what I always talk about when these people that, oh, vaccines cause this, vaccines cause that. And I'm like, my records kept getting lost. I've had like 5 sets of my vaccination. If vaccines cause any illness, I would have it. I got them I think twice in South Carolina, once in North Carolina, twice in South Carolina, and 3 times in Kentucky.
Give me a walking petri dish.
Right. So I get that. Like I said, I can't speak for any vaccines that I haven't had, but like the chickenpox, measles, mumps, rubella, all of that stuff. You're good. Don't worry about that. I've had the flu vaccine and, you know, that kind of stuff. So the other ones, I won't speak of the other ones. I haven't had it, but those, they don't cause autism.
Well, I'm still, my position on the COVID vaccine is I'm going to wait and see, because there's also, every day there's a new story about something messed up about it. The latest one was a lot of the ones that went out did not have enough of the mRNA. they were basically underdosing people. And, you know, there's, it wouldn't surprise me if the situation turns into a nightmare. Some will wait and see, you know.
Yeah, that one, I did hear about that one too, that they had been underdosing, that they didn't make it strong enough, especially with these new strands that are being discovered. But, of course, I don't think our age group, we're not going to be able to get it for at least, they're not even going to open it up to us for at least another 2 or 3 months.
I was offered it months and months ago from work because I, at the time, worked in a hospital. And I was like, yeah, no. And I keep seeing these stories pop up about these people dying after getting the vaccine. And I understand that if you dose 100, 200 million people, that's going to happen. But still, you got to follow your gut in life on making decisions. And my gut is just to stand by at this point. And that's what I'm going to do.
You know, and it's like I said, you know, I had it in January of 2000. And being young and relatively healthy, I mean, I'm in shape. I'm round. Round's a shape, so I'm in shape. I don't walk
you're in
good,
A shape.
Everything else is
you're
going.
In a, you're in A. You're like me. We're in A shape.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm in shape. Round's a shape. It counts, you know. But I was sick as a dog. Mm-hmm. At no time did I think I was a death. Well, actually, there was a few times I thought, you know, if I die now, I'd be happy with it because then I wouldn't feel like crap now. But you know, being serious, there was not a time that I thought I was a death door. I was really, really, really sick. But I didn't feel like, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel was coming. But, you know, when you're in our age group, like I said, if you don't have any of the pre-existing major health conditions, then there's a good chance you might not even get it, much less get it where it would be serious enough to, you know, put you in the hospital or kill you. I can kind of see, you know, just the wait and see. Because I had it January before anyone even knew what it was. I was told I had an upper respiratory illness and to take, you know, Mucinex because it sounded like I had something in my chest. And I'm like, I smoked. That's what I've got in my chest is, you know, smoke. I've smoked for years. And that's why my lungs sound like crap. And then I was given, told to buy NyQuil and DayQuil. When I wanted to sleep, take NyQuil. When I needed to go to work, take DayQuil. And that was it. I didn't even take a night off work.
Well, it sounds like it's not something. I think I have all the pre-existing conditions, so I'd probably be a dead man, and I still don't want to get it. But anyway. So we're going to talk a little bit about haunted objects, cursed objects. I will preface this by saying I am skeptical of it. I kind of don't believe in haunted objects, but there are a lot of well-known and not-so-well-known objects out there that are cursed / haunted, and I know you guys have some information on that. So I'll kick it off by mentioning a couple that maybe you guys have heard about. One is the Hand Resist Him painting by artist Bill Stoneham. Probably one of the most haunted pieces of art. According to the artist, this painting is a representation of a doorway that connects our world with the world of the spirits. The owners claim that the characters and the pictures move and disappear at night. I just really want to call bullshit on that. Another painting, the Anguished Man painting, is this dude inherited a painting from his grandmother and decided to hang it on the wall of his house. Soon after that, Sean and his family started experiencing paranormal events like the cracking of doors in the middle of the night and sudden blood-curdling screams from nowhere. They decided to investigate the origins of the painting and found that the artist who painted the painting committed suicide and before doing that, he mixed his own blood with the paint. Yeah. So there's another haunted one. See, I'll find another one. There's just a lot of haunted things. People, like dolls and monuments and stuff. What's that?
Especially paintings. Paintings love to get the reputation of being haunted. Like, actually, I did a video about the hands. Is it that painting, which actually I will be the first to admit, that's a creepy painting. I mean, it's just all around creepy looking. I mean, you have I can't remember now if it's a young boy or a young girl. And, like, this, I think it's a boy and a girl mannequin looking thing. Not quite, it's made to look human, but not quite human.
Hmm.
And they're standing, like, in front of a shop with hands in the window. If it's the one thinking of.
It's a boy standing in the middle and this, like, mannequin-looking girl kind of standing to the side. And there's, like, handprints on the inside of the door they're standing in front of. It's a creepy-ass painting.
Exactly. And I think that's all there is. I know there was, what was it, the Portrait of the Crying Boy, I believe. The reputation being demonic because people believed it couldn't be burned.
Because I've actually got something on the crying boy.
I'm looking at it right now, yeah.
I've actually got some information on that one. It was mass produced. This painting was mass produced, right? And the paint they use and the stuff they treat the frames with are fire retardant.
That makes more sense than
the paintings are usually hung by a wire or string. If the house catches fire, the painting falls face down on the floor. The string is going to burn first. The painting is going to fall face down on the carpet, and it's fire retardant. Fire goes up.
Well, that would make more sense.
Fire, when you burn something, fire tends to go up. Like in a forest fire to go up in the trees and crown. You know, like, it'll go up. And so it makes sense that you would have this painting that would seem to be untouched by the fire because it was down below the flame and it was fire retardant.
And you hear the same thing with spontaneous human combustion, where people burst into flames, allegedly, and, you know, there's, like, only a foot left, but the rest of the house is left untouched. But on the crying boy, I'm reading it right now, it was mass-produced and found in many homes across Britain, but a lot of these houses caught fire, and it didn't matter how severe the fire was, the painting remained absolutely fine. I'm just going to say, if you mass-produce a painting and a bunch of houses that catch fire, you're going to have paintings that don't catch fire. That's what I'm thinking.
Lot of it will be treated.
Yeah.
Are we on?
Yeah.
Yeah, hello? I can hear you at least.
I got some weird feedback there for a second. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's just the CIA.
Probably. Okay. But that's nothing new to us, though.
So. Yeah, that's nothing new.
Yeah.
Or maybe
we always joke that we have this one guy, and whoever has to listen to us is like the guy that screwed something up. So it's like that's his punishment. His punishment is he has to listen to us because God knows what we're gonna, you know. Well, God knows what we talk about half the time. I mean, we can start off on, black dark matter theory and end up with the relevant size of Bigfoot's penis. I mean, we go all over the place.
Yeah, we even tweeted and wound up on Kung Fu and Titties one night.
Right, yeah. See, you never know what you're going to get with us.
I'll go over one more, and then I know you guys have stuff to talk about on the haunted doll thing. This is one I've never heard of before. You guys, I'm sure, are familiar with Elmo, the popular Sesame Street character. You know, they have these Elmo's dolls, and it was launched, a version of it launched, and it was programmed to memorize the owner's name. A young boy named James Bowman was a big fan of Elmo, so his mother decided to gift him one on his 10th birthday. However, a few days later, the Elmo doll began to chant "Kill James" continuously, so they threw away the cursed toy. I'm not going to say that that's cursed. That's a defect or a manufacturing joke or something.
I think more along the lines of probably an asshole with a recorder. You know,
yeah.
I'd have to chalk that up.
Demonic Elmo doll. So now you guys,
yeah,
you
heard a couple about
that.
Well, yeah, like I was telling before we came on, it's funny that we were talking about this at the start because, we have. If you're in the paranormal field, you hear everybody and their grandmother's got a haunted song. You know, one of the biggest ones right now, and you can still go on, eBay and find them, the Dybbuk boxes. I mean, they started out one, and now there's probably, 10,000. But you can get them on eBay. So I decided, we've always talked about, like you, we've kind of wondered about haunted objects. And, of course, probably the most famous being Annabelle. You know, so we wondered about this, and we thought about this. And, there's only one true way of figuring it out. And that's if you buy one and see what happens. I mean, by all means, that one doesn't begin to fully represent all of them that are available, or all of them, the people that say that these things, happen to them. But you can't completely sit on the back burner. At some point, you got to get in the game. You can't keep riding the bench. So, and as I was explaining, talking to you earlier, there's something that a lot of people may or may not know about me, and that is the fact that I find dolls extraordinarily creepy. I hate dolls. I do not like them at all. I don't want them around me. I don't like looking at them. I don't think they're cute. I don't think they're pretty. So basically one night me and Michael were talking, and we were talking about this, and I was like, you know what? If I would buy one of the haunted dolls, no problem, except I don't want the damn thing. He's like, well, send it to me. And I'm like, okay. And that's exactly what I did. We went on eBay. I found a pair of haunted dolls on eBay. They are handmade Navajo. I think it was Navajo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
These are handmade Navajo dolls. And from what we were told, the owner believed they may have been possessed by, I guess you would say, for lack of a better term, possessed by his sister. He had two young sisters that died. I'm about to turn it over to Michael because details are escaping me. It's been too long now. But that was basically what we were told, and that these were not demonic, they were not evil, but that they were active, and that they believed that it was the sisters of the owners that were actually connected to the dolls. And Michael can give, like I said, he can give you more details on it because I've forgotten about it.
Now, I got the dolls from Joe. Are they, they're quite attractive, they're clean, and I didn't get anything word from them. So the dolls have names. They came, they were already named. There's Kia, K-I-A. which is Kaya, I guess, and Issy, I-S-I. And I've done some EDP work with them. And I have to say, really haven't had anything happen. I haven't had any EVP that I could directly attribute to the dolls being in the room. And they're in the bedroom where I sleep at night, sitting on my bench. Looking at them right now. And I've had absolutely nothing happen that I'm aware of. And I've had audio recorders going, and I've had some video going just to play around with, and I've had nothing that I can point to. We do have a friend who is a psychic and well known, and someone that I believe what she says, and she saw the dolls, she saw a picture of them. She said she didn't get anything from them, you know. So I don't know. We took a shot. But I want to keep them. I mean, I'll certainly keep them. I'm going to do more EVP work with them and other things. I've got some other tests I want to run and see if I can get something to happen. But so far, it's been no joy.
But do you guys believe that you could have really haunted dolls like Annabelle and all that that'll kill you and Robert,
well, actually, I'm it's funny, of course, well, not really, because like I said, Annabelle was by above and beyond the most well-known of the haunted dolls. I mean, everybody, she's had, what, 3-4 movies made about her now? I think it was Annabelle, like, Creation, Annabelle Comes Home, Annabelle. You know, I don't know, and I think they may even be working on another one. And if you, I don't know how well you follow it, of course, Ghost Adventures did have the Halloween special they did quite a few years ago where Zach Bacon's acted inappropriately with Annabelle and seemed to be falling madly in love with her and, like, laid in the floor and, like, I just want to touch her foot. I just want to touch her foot. This kind of crap. And that was when I'll come right out. See, I'm more of a confrontational one of the groups because I'll come right out and say it, that either one, everything about you've heard about Annabelle is been made up, or two, the Annabelle doll that Ed Lorraine Warren's son-in-law is toting around the country on tour, and Annabelle's got her world tour going on. Isn't the same doll, or they took her out dress shopping, because the one that was in the Ghost Adventures special and the one that was in Lorraine Warren's arms and the one that's in the museum that's in the case that was supposedly specially made for her and blessed weekly by a Catholic priest that she is never to be out of doesn't have the same dress on. So either this doll is not what they say it is, and Ed and Lorraine Warren lied about how haunted this doll is, or B, the doll that I think even right now they're setting up at some convention where they're going to give you you can go into this room with all these haunted artifacts and doing like a traveling occult museum or a traveling version of the Warren's occult museum, including Annabelle. For $35 extra beyond the fee to get into the convention and all of that, is it the same doll? Because like I said, it's not the same dress. I actually, when the Ghost Adventures thing happened, and apparently my picture got taken down, but then again, I remembered I did tag Zach in it and said, did you buy her a new dress? And I put up a side-by-side picture of the two, and you clearly see it is a completely different dress. So it's either not the same doll, because the dresses were actually stitched onto the dolls. Or
yeah,
they had somebody take it off of her and put a new one on. And I mean, you're going to really take the... this doll that supposedly killed people and take it out and having a new dress put on to make it look pretty?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. It's not money, money, money.
You know, I don't know. I think that I would have to do, and I have to be the cynical. I really do, but I got to where I don't have to believe anybody's evidence anymore or data but my own. I'd have to see it. I'd have to be there with it, leave it in the case, and do my own test with it and see what happened. And then if something happened, I would say, yeah, okay, I can buy it. I mean, I can't discount it offhand, because how can I discount that when I know that I hear voices come across recorders that should be on them, and I know that something hit Joe in the back of the head and left a mark, but there was nothing in the room. I know I've heard footsteps on hallways when there was nobody in them. You know, I mean, there are paranormal things I've seen and things that I know that have happened to people that I know that they're not lying about. And I can't discount something else when there are things that I know that I can't, you know, I mean, how can you? The only way you could, way you could discount it would be if you did it yourself.
Well, see, that's kind of where, that's one of the things that me and Michael have always kind of, but then again, like I said, Michael is the more diplomatic of the two, of our duo, because I will come right out and say, you know, like I said, you know, we've heard for years about Annabelle, and this was before any of the movies, any of the stuff. First off, the Warrens were extensive record keepers.
Yeah, they're record keeping be anybody. I mean, they got it. If they got it, they got tapes and they got notes and they got it.
Except on Annabelle, they don't have anything really on her. Just that they got it from two nursing school students that did it. They don't give names. They don't give tapes. They don't give, and they give it on the other stuff. They give it for the
unless they got a file they ain't let go of.
But and see that there again, that doesn't make sense either, because if they did, again, if they're willing to give it on all these others, why not this one? What are they hiding about this one?
You know, I have to be more diplomatic, because if I'm not, we won't have a podcast, and Joe ain't going to be allowed on Facebook anymore, and I have to go on Facebook and do all the stuff, and Twitter, because Joe got kicked off. I mean, if he gets kicked off all the platforms and can't be on our own podcast, one of us has got to stick at the mantle of it. It's got to be me, so I have to be diplomatic.
I haven't been in Facebook jail for a while. I came close the past couple of days, but I have not been put in Facebook jail for a while. But, yeah, that's what I'm saying, as far, because really, there's two things that really stick out in my mind as far as haunted objects go. And we're just going to put it in a kind of in a nutshell. The top two would have to be the Dybbuk box and Annabelle. I mean, they're the most well-known, they're the most, supposedly the most documented, you know, and for whatever reason, both have decided to become tourist attractions here recently. And really, you know, like I said, they took this doll, they put the doll in this case. They had it specially made for her. It's supposed to be locked and sealed. They have a priest come in and do a blessing on Annabelle's case every week because of how powerful the entity is in Annabelle. And now all of a sudden you've got their son-in-law taking it on a tour around the country, letting people see it for $35. But one was either drastic overkill or it's all kind of a story. Then you go with the Divot box. You know, this guy was supposedly killed a rabbi that had it in the car, caused him to wreck, trying to get rid of it. This guy supposedly buried it in the middle of the woods, filled the hole in with semen before covering it and like only he knew the location to it. Well, as soon as Zach Bagans opens up the checkbook, this guy goes digs it out and gives it to Zach Bagans. Now, of course, it's on its own little private wing of the tour. You have to sign a special contract and agreement not to sue him if you get an attachment from it and all of this crap. But if it's really as bad as it is, why would anyone do that? Okay, if it was bad enough that it killed a rabbi trying to take it to get rid of it, why did this guy think, hell yeah, I'll take that dude's money, I'm going to go dig it up? He supposedly did this so it couldn't hurt anyone ever again, including him. Remember, he risked his life for this himself because it could have killed him in the same method that it killed the rabbi. So that's where I'm kind of, yeah, I really...
I mean, you have to, from my book, and you try to stay as objective as possible and keep your own beliefs and some things out of it because you have to be as scientific as possible in a field that really isn't scientifically possible most of the time. Because most of the laws of physics don't strictly apply. But when you get into things like that, in things with a bit of a religious context, which with a Divot box, you would have to, because it comes from Jewish mysticism. And a Divot is a Jewish demon, for lack of a better word. Then, you know, for my money, you either have to buy it all or buy none of it. But if it's dangerous, okay, it's dangerous, and you don't mess with it. You leave it in this little protective case and have a priest come by and bless it every week or whatever you do with it. You don't take it on a road trip. You know, either it's dangerous or it's not. If you believe it is, then why are you taking it out? You know, I mean, you have to pick a side. Either it's dangerous, it needs to be left in a safe place so it won't hurt anybody else. Or we'd rather have the money we can get from it, so let's take it out. But if we're doing that, then, you know, how dangerous is it actually? You know what I mean?
I mean, that's when
it comes right down to that, that's how it would be. If it's dangerous, then you leave it the hell alone.
I watch the YouTube videos of the people that buy these Divot boxes on eBay, and I can just envision people just going to making these things just to make some money. I'm sure maybe there are some real Divot boxes out there, but it's become a little, you know, industry to sell haunted dolls and alleged Divot boxes and all that stuff. And then these people buy...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, people buy them and then they open them up on YouTube and then all this paranormal activity happens and it's just a bunch of fake-ass nonsense.
Yeah, they put their clickbait little screen capture up there, God, it's a demon. And they get,
bought the first Divot box, the guy that owned the little antique store in New York, the one whose mother had a stroke when she opened it, the guy that was on the shows. The problem was he was on all the shows. That's where it was on. It made the rounds. You know, and the same thing with the people that were on one ghost show or on three or four ghost shows. Oh, we hate this, we want to move. But every time another ghost show comes along and wants to write you a check, you're on it. You know, so how bad do you actually hate being where you're at? You know, and this guy that had the first Divot box, he went through all this. They finally had I had to have it sealed a certain way by a rabbi, more than one, in a certain way according to the Jewish tradition, whatever that may be, I don't know. And if that was done, that's good. Seal the damn thing up. Leave it sealed up. If it is as bad as you say it is, it needs to be sealed up. It doesn't need to be floating out here to Las Vegas in a museum. You know? But first off,
yeah,
there's one, and now there's a whole bunch of them. Because every Tom, Dick, and Harry saw, oh, man, he made money on that. He sold one for $1 million. I'm going to try that, too. You know? So you get an old wine cabinet or an old wooden box with a few things in it and hope for the best. Even if you put $15-$20 in it and sell eBay for $100, you pay $80. You know, I mean, you know, it's not a bad gig.
Yeah. You know what else is interesting on a similar subject, kind of similar, is, you know, like we're talking about the Dybbuk boxes and dolls being sold on YouTube, but there's also a new trend of people buying mystery boxes from the dark web, where, you know, they go to the dark side of the internet, whatever, using Tor, and they order a mystery box. Sometimes they're $100 boxes. There's ones that people have paid like $100,000 mystery box, and they get these boxes and they're filled of all this creepy stuff, just weird stuff, USB drives and creepy dolls and dead things. And I watched one yet last night, which was a guy got a human head in the dark web mystery box. I'm sure it was fake, but, you know, it's this. People will do anything to get money, and mystery boxes and Dybbuk boxes are really kind of a hot thing right now.
Yeah, they are. And especially those mystery boxes. God almighty. I saw a guy on Facebook, actually. He does. I follow him on Facebook. But he opened a $500 junk drawer mystery box. And I'm going, who the hell has got $500 worth of stuff in their junk drawer? You know,
yeah.
Am I the only one wondering this crap? You know, it's like, who's got $500 worth of crap just sitting in their junk drawer? Like, oh yeah, you know, I've got. And he's pulling out, like, antique, well, nothing creepy, but he's pulling out, like, antique coins and old money and stock certificates. And I'm like, where the hell did you get this mystery box from? You know, Mr. Howell? Did you get it from the guy on Gilligan's Island? You know, it's like I said, who else has this stuff just laying around? Oh, yes, I've got stocks and bonds in that drawer. That's nothing important, you know. It makes no sense, you know. Just like you said, it is a trend right now. And honestly, I've got a bunch of boxes full of crap that a friend of mine gave me when I moved into my apartment, because he's like, "Hey, you need some, you know, just kitchen stuff and stuff." And I'm looking at that, thinking, I could probably sell that box on eBay right now for $100. I might be doing that after the show if you guys want to bid on it.
I think how it works is not just for the dark web mystery boxes, but you can get mystery boxes for anything. You can get Pokemon mystery boxes. I think, say, if you create 10 mystery boxes and you have one of those boxes with some really Gucci shit in it, you know, so it kind of builds your reputation and it makes it look good, and then the rest of the other boxes are just, you know, garbage.
Pretty much. That might work. I mean, I don't, you know, and it's kind of like you said, and you actually, and you and I kind of share the opinion on it. It's like you said, you know, they come out and they've got these mystery boxes and the Dybbuk boxes and this and that and these YouTube whatevers. I don't know if you want to call them paranormal people, if you want to call them, you know, YouTube, whatever they are, but just people that do crap on YouTube. And like I said, they put up that clickbait, oh, scared face picture. And
oh, yeah.
They get 1 million views. Well, yeah, it's worth it to Dan to go out and buy, because they can they can goof around enough and be, oh no, ooh, scary thing, to make it, you know, that they're going to get the views, the people are going to watch. It's like another group that I follow on Facebook all the time, or used to. They're one of the reasons I ended up in Facebook jail once. And they have told me if I don't quit, I was going to get kicked out of the group, but I beat them to the punch and left it anyway. Every video they posted was whatever, insert legendary ghost here, caught on video, demonic. And that was the headline of every video they posted. It don't matter. The white lady of the gray spirit of the ghost of, you know, Henry VIII eating a turkey leg, whatever you want to put up, will always be, we got the ghost of, caught on video, and it's demonic. And demonic would be in capital.
Everything's demonic.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, this group, I'm a fan of the saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Because when I first became part of this group, they were a lot more serious and involved in it. But somewhere along the line, they got, and I mean, I just followed them. I wasn't actually like physically part of it or nothing. I would comment back and forth, and I would talk to some of the members of it, and we would discuss that. But somewhere along that line, they went full-blown Zach Bagan, where they're always running into demons. Everything is negative. It's all wanting to kill them. They use all of these different spirit boxes and different devices that always come up with kill and death and demon and devil and all of this, and that's all they put out. One night I laid into him, and that's what got me put in Facebook jail for 2 weeks. You know, because I was like, you got this is a joke. You know, everything can't be that. You know, it's not possible. Everything can't be that. You're not going to run into this stuff all the time. And it's the same with the haunted items, same with the bigger boxes. You know, it's a definite buyer beware. Like Michael said, it's been about a month now since you got those dolls, hasn't it?
Yeah, about a month. Like I said, I'm still doing stuff with them, but I haven't. Nothing strange has happened. Nothing that I can point to as being paranormal,
And just for shits and giggles, because go on.
You know, nothing yet. I'm just still waiting.
Yeah, and I was going to throw out there, just for shits and giggles, on the same night, while I don't like dolls, I do like Ouija boards. So I bought one of them. It is hanging on my wall right now. And
like,
no, nothing's happening.
An antique one? Or like?
No, this one was not antique. I did actually bid on an antique one, and I got outbid, and I was pissed about that. I got one, actually was building on one of the original old Ouija boards from like 1974.
Mm.
And I got beat on it, and that made, I was upset. I wanted that one bad. Because I do actually, I collect that stuff. And I have no, like, me and a friend, a guy I know, Pete, actually was on the show a while back. He does the same thing where he was the head of the Vancouver Paranormal Society. People would send him in Ouija boards because they were, oh, it's the Ouija board and it's causing my house to do this and, you know, this to go on in my house. So he's actually got them. We've used them in, like, live streams and stuff. And to this date, there's no activity in his house. He has, I think he said at one time, I think he has like 10 of them. And every one of his was turned in with reported activity to it. And still to this date, there is no no activity in his house.
I used to play with him. I many years ago. I don't. There was some weird stuff that happened, but I've actually kind of become a skeptic on that as well, having to do with the, you know, the ideomotor effect, where it kind of explains it. But I wouldn't play with it now.
Yeah, it's just it. I think the older we get, the more skeptical we do get at all of it. Even when we have experienced things and do know people that have experienced things that we trust, it's just in general, it's got to be more. You know, you can't just go on the whole, it's not the story doesn't do it anymore. It's more of you got to see it to believe it. You do get skeptical in your older age. I know I have. And like Michael said, you know, I've heard voices. Actually, just before I recorded last night, we did our podcast, Night Stalker. Someone said my name in my headset. Michael wasn't on my headset. Nobody was. Yeah. That takes you a minute. I've got my headset on. I had my computer booted up. There's no sound, nothing coming through my headset. And all of a sudden I hear Joel. And I'm like, what? You know, it takes you back for a second.
It's just the government messing with you, man. It's the intelligence.
I wouldn't be surprised. He's probably that poor bastard that has been assigned to listen to my insane rambling. Has been like, you know what? I'm gonna mess this guy up. He's gonna have we're gonna have some fun with him tonight.
Psychological warfare. Well, it looks like we're about out of time, and I gotta go cook me some chili. So, how can people get in contact with y'all?
Well, the easiest way, we've got two different paths. We have at Night Stalker Pod. Both of them will be on Facebook or Twitter. We are back on Twitter. I just had to do a lot of crap to recover the Twitter, but we are back on it. We do have the email at nightstalkerpodcast@gmail.com. And by April 1st, we will have nightstalkerpod.com up and going, which will also have a message, abilities to talk to us there, plus like videos and crap that we find interesting and different stuff that's going on, and just random, like I said, stuff that we find interesting. So God only knows what you're going to find on there. Other than that, we're pretty well, like I said, we do have the Night Stalkers Live every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 Pacific, and we are going to be starting to have guests again here very soon. This has been more of a readjustment period and getting everything going again, and after our little hiatus, about a year. And so we're getting ready. We're going to be starting to have guests, and we've already got some authors. What is the name of the he's the head instructor of the school where you got your PhD from?
Dr. Kelly. Hang on, I got it. Dr. Douglas Kelly is going to be on. I've sent you his link.
Yeah, I'm going to be setting that up. I think that's going to be in 2 weeks. We were going to have him. He's going to be our first guest out, and he is the head of what's the name of the school? I can't remember that either.
It is. Yeah, I know it. It is the I don't know how you do this to me all the time. You always hit me when I'm about half brain dead. The Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science.
No, it's the Institute of Humanistic Metaphysical Science. That's going to be our first guest back. So we can't wait to kind of talk to him, because believe me, it's going to be interesting, because that class is no joke. It's a serious one.
Cool. Well, if you ever need somebody to talk about their crazy UFO experiences, I'd call in for you, be a guest. And I got some.
Hey, whenever you want to come on, we can always just let us know. Whenever you want to come on, you can come talk with us.
Yeah, we're always open to have anybody on.
Sweet. I'll do that. Well,
UFO would definitely be something that that's definitely something we especially here recently with all the you know the kind of boost in activity. That definitely be something to talk about.
Yeah, we'll do it. I definitely, you know, have some really weird ass experiences. That's why I love the UFO subject so much. But with that, I got to eat some dinner. So thanks, guys, for coming on tonight. And we hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week. We'll see everybody next Sunday, 7 p.m. West Coast time. Thanks again, guys.
Nick, thanks for having us on again.
Good night, everyone.
Yeah.